Blog Talk Radio.
Tri-Family Channel. 600 people gathered at Brown Chapel AME Church on Sunday, March 7th, to begin the march to Montgomery. Dr. King was preaching in Atlanta. Hosea Williams and John Lewis led the march. Lewis chose to march even though his organization, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, opposed SCLC's strategy and decided not to take part. Surprisingly, as they walked through the center of town, there were no police in sight. The route out of Selma crossed over the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
It'd be detrimental to your safety to continue this march, and I'm saying that this is an unlawful assembly. You have to disperse. You are ordered to disperse, go home, or go to your church. This march will not continue.
President Johnson, sensing the mood of the country, addressed Congress on national television.
What happened in Selma is part of a far larger movement which reaches into every section and state of America.
It is 8 days after Bloody Sunday, 4 days after Reeves' death, the president asked for a comprehensive voting rights bill and astonished the nation by using the words of the movement.
Their cause must be our cause, too. Because it's not just Negroes, but really it's all of us who must overcome the crippling legacy of bigotry and injustice. And we shall overcome.
Judge Johnson has just ruled that we have a legal and constitutional right to march from Selma to Montgomery.
The judge's action cleared the way for the march, but Governor Wallace still refused to provide the necessary protection. So President Johnson federalized the Alabama National Guard. Sunday, March 21st, only 62 days after the campaign began, 3,200 people gathered at Brown Chapel Church for the journey to Montgomery.
We are going to walk nonviolently and peacefully to let the nation and the world know that we are tired now. We've lived with slavery and segregation 345 years. We waited a long time for freedom. We are trying to remind the nation of the urgency of the moment. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to transform Alabama, the heart of Dixie, to a state with a heart for brotherhood and peace and goodwill. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children.
We're marching on to freedom land. We're marching on to freedom land. God, our strength from day to day as we walk the narrow way we're going forward. One day we're going to be free.
Freedom. 54 miles and 5 days marching. They were now 25,000 strong.
Marching together and listening to Martin's speech.
We must come to see that the end we seek is a society at peace with itself, a society that can live with its conscience. That will be a day not of the white man, not of the black man. That will be the day of man as man. However difficult the moment,
yes, sir.
However frustrating the hour, it will not be long, because truth crushed earth will rise again.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Yes, sir.
Because no lie can live forever.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Not long.
Because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He's trampling out the village where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
Yes, sir.
His truth is marching on.
Yes, sir.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes,
sir. Glory, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
We are so honored to welcome you to Voices of Wisdom, hosted by Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr., live on Tribe Family Channel. They are two of the historic Tougaloo Nine celebrating this month, March 27th, 58 years later, from their Tougaloo, Mississippi library sit-in. Today, we honor the 54th anniversary of the March on Selma, and we are so blessed and fortunate to have Dr. Alveda King, daughter of the late civil rights activist Reverend A.D. King, and his wife Naomi Barber King, niece of the late great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Alveda King has also worked towards her purpose of glorifying God in the earth and accomplishing many goals. Currently, she is a minister of the Gospel of Jesus, serving as director of the African American Outreach for Gospel of Life, headed up by Father Frank Pavone of Priest for Life. And we are so very honored to welcome her to be our guest. About the Tougaloo Nine, at 11 a.m. on March 27th, 1961, nine students from the historically black Tougaloo College walked into an all-white Jackson, Mississippi public library. Joseph Jackson Jr., their leader, approached the circulation desk. The libraries were desegregated 58 years ago. They were led by the late, great Medgar Evers. Ladies and gentlemen, I turn over the mic to Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. of the Tougaloo Nine with Dr. Alveda King. Have an amazing show.
So much, Ms. Beverly Johnson. We are so grateful to have this opportunity. The introduction was just awesome. Thank you, Dr. Alveda King, for what you have been and still are. An inspiration to all of us. Right now, I'm going to have Joseph to also acknowledge you. Joseph?
Yes, Dr. Alveda King. I really, really feel a very, very spiritual, close association with you as well as your family, your father, your late father, as well as your late uncle, because I was ordained into the gospel ministry at the age of 21. And I'm a native of Memphis, Tennessee. And I just really, I'm just glad that you are here to share your story and to give us words of inspiration. And so welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, all of you. And to Sister Hollis, Brother Jackson Jr., Sister Beverly, to the listening audience, so grateful to join you. I wasn't there with you back there at those tumultuous times, but I was also involved in the movement and in the march. My dad, Reverend A.B., was an organizer in support of his brother, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And the work that you have done and the fact that you're still here today to share this powerful testimony and to let young people know what it was for, what it was all about. You know that famous saying, if you don't know your history, you'll repeat it. Well, you don't want to repeat the bad, but if you don't know your history, you can't repeat the good either. So as you are, I'm here to be inspired by you and to encourage you and to thank God for you.
Thank you. That is truly an amazing introduction from you. And we are here because we want to make sure that history, excuse me, that history is known. And basically, if our young people, if people in general do not know the history, they are destined to repeat it. And actually, the emphasis just today of what we've been realizing on television, the kinds of things that are going on in our country, they are being done because people don't know that there are not being truthful with what the real history is. So can you just, Dr. King, can you just give us a little bit more of your emphasis on the revisiting of this day for the Selma Walk, the Selma event, and come to us, give us some of your knowledge and wisdom and spirituality so that those who are listening can really benefit from what we are doing, not only today, but because what we're doing from when we first started. Thank you. Can you do this for us?
I sure can. I'm reminded of one scripture that my Uncle Martin Luther King Jr. really taught and liked, that Daddy King, Martin Luther King Sr., my dad, Reverend A.D. King, and as a Christian evangelist today, I still remember it. And it's Acts 17:26, and it says, of one blood, God made all people, all human beings, created humanity to live together on the face of the earth. And my uncle would teach, we must learn to live together as brothers and all that as sisters, or perish together as fools. So when I was listening to the recording, and I knew that Governor Wallace and people like Bull Connor and all of that, they were so filled with hatred because they were operating in error. They did not see us as brothers and sisters. They saw us as another race, and a race that was inferior. There's only one race, one blood and one race, the human race. So one thing that I would say to young people to learn today is when you study that, the major lesson to not repeat is to have a heart filled with hatred and to not tolerate the bigotry of other people not understanding that we are all human beings. We have to teach that truth and treat each other as human beings, and then learn to love and forgive. Now, some of the good things that we do want to repeat from that time period is the prayer, is the faith that brought us on through to this century and has you right here with us right now. So one thing we never want to throw away is our prayers and our faith. So it's just such a blessing to join both of you and to know that you have withstood the test and withstood those times. They were bad, they were tumultuous, but there was good and there was bad. So we don't want to forget either one, the good or the bad. We want to forgive the bad and remember the good and then build on the strength of the good.
Absolutely.
Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, now I want to break protocol for a minute because I know that Dr. King's time is limited, and I have a caller from area code 443. He is the Senator Emeritus of the 40th District in Maryland. Her name is Senator Barbara A. Robinson, and I want to bring her on the line to introduce her to Dr. Alveda King. Senator Barbara Robinson, are you there?
I absolutely am, and this is a tremendous, tremendous enlightening topic, and I'm just so glad to listen to these powerful women talk about what needs to be talked about. And I'm not going to be able to stay on for the entire duration, but you are blessing me. Now, Dr. King, it is a real honor to listen to you and listen to you talk about the footsteps that your family members, your uncle and your father, actually from this earth, so that others who are standing on their shoulders can have a legacy that they can not only look up to but learn from. You know, so many of our young people now really don't know the struggle that those of us who are a little bit over 40 had to go through or went through so they wouldn't have to. And I just honor your father's legacy, and I honor you, and you keep enlightening me. So I thank you very much for being on tonight.
Well, you acknowledge the sisters, but we have our brother as well, Dr. Daniels on. Dr. Beverly has loaded his brother out. We have a gentleman.
Brother out.
But
absolutely.
And I do apologize. Let me tell you what happened, because I don't want to be disrespectful. I had a call that was slated at 7 p.m., but that was Central Time, and it started at 8 o'clock, and I told him I was very sorry that I could not join them. It's a crucial call as well, but I had to be on with you and all of you, and it's so important to me for this particular topic. But if any young people are listening, for all of us who still remain from that time period, it is so important that we not fight and bicker and come together in prayer with truth and then prayerful action and stand together. I could not encourage us to do anything different, because that's the way I was taught.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. I'm glad to hear that.
That was our upbringing, yes. For the most part, that was our upbringing.
Well, thank you so much, Senator Barbara Robinson. I just wanted to make sure that you have the opportunity to meet Dr. Alveda King, and hopefully everyone listening will get a chance to listen to Second Wednesdays with Senator Barbara Robinson right here live on Tribe Family Channel. So you have a blessed remainder of your evening, Senator.
I thank you so much, Beverly. I thank you so much for sponsoring this conversation tonight. And it would be my honor, Dr. King, if sometime in the future I could just be close enough just to hug you.
I'll get you two connected. I'll get you two connected. All right.
Absolutely.
So now.
Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna have to slip away, and I apologize. But please continue this powerful discussion, because the world needs to know.
Amen. We thank you so very much, Dr. Alveda King, and God bless you. We'll have you back soon, okay?
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Now we are going to return to Voices of Wisdom with Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. expounding upon what is the Tupelo 9's 58th anniversary coming up March 27th, but honoring today the March on Selma as we discuss Selma Revisited on the 54th anniversary of the March on Selma. So now I return the call or the show back to you, Mrs. Hollis and Mr. Jackson.
Well, thank you so much. We really are just so impressed and appreciative that we have been able to reach out and to be connected with such awesome people. Dr. Alveda King and also Senator Barbara Robinson, with whom we have had talks with previously. What was brought out were the conditions, and some of them came from the dialogue from the video that you shared earlier. Bloody Sunday, war zone, violence. But the thing is, what was our cause? Our cause was to overcome the status quo at the time, which was segregation. And some of the things that we experienced in our needs in Jackson, Mississippi, as Tululu 9 participants. We wanted to overcome segregation, but degradation, second-class citizenship, and those kinds of things that kept us from having the knowledge or having the opportunity to get the knowledge and the resources that we needed and that were a part of our livelihood to be where we are today. Seeking nonviolence. That nonviolence was the Tululu 9's number one emphasis. And we also had an urgency, and we also had a promise of a better life. Because if we had not sought this difference for ourselves and for the community, I don't think anyone would have opened the doors up and said, walk right on in, especially in the Jim Crow South of Jackson, Mississippi. Now, what we did were not just for us, those students at Tougaloo College, but they were for all. End of what we seeked is the result of what we have now. But even then, we are still seeking our truth. Joseph, tell us, what did you gather? What did you gather from the presentations that we just had as our entrance with Dr. Alveda King?
Well, actually, what I came away with is just the fact of the matter in how strong the spiritual commitment that that the family embraced. And I'm thinking about how it all began with Dr. King's father, as well as his brother, A.D. King, who was a minister, and then, of course, his sister, I think her name was Christine. But anyway, it's just the idea that the two boys, how strong the influence of attending church and looking up to their father, who struggled his way through Lincoln University, and also how they began to grow and to embody the principles and the ideals of their father. And, I mean, it's amazing that Dr. Alberta King, I think her name is Dr. King's niece, I think.
Alveda King,
right?
Yes.
Alveda, is that? Okay. All right.
Alveda.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought it was Dr. Alberta King, but anyway, it was just the idea of how she was inspired, you know, to enter the ministry and to continue the cause of her father, A.D. King. And I remembered when we celebrated Dr. King's birthday, for the first time, I had heard her father's voice on one of the programs, and he sounded exactly with the intellectual gift that he was blessed to have. I'm talking about Dr. Alvita King's father, Dr. A.D. King, and he sounded just like his brother, Dr. King. I mean, it was just amazing how closely associated they were with each other. I mean, just the way he spoke. And so I'm just in awe of how the inspiration that Dr. Alvita King is continuing the legacy of her father as well as her uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And she said something that every now and then I think about. It's not that I've taken it for granted, but she said that it was a blessing that you and I are able at this time, 2019, really to be alive to tell our story about the Tougaloo Nine. Because realistically speaking, all nine of us, when we entered that library, our future really was uncertain. And that's a very, very thought to have now at my age, at the age of 81, knowing that had things had turned out differently, knowing the history of Mississippi. I was just really in fear of my life when they closed those jail cell doors on me. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. There were no windows, and my mind just drifted back to the state that took the life of the first sacrificial lamb, which was Emmett Till, and then followed on forward to 1963. That same state and city took the life of our leader, Mr. Medgar Wiley Eccles. And so I was watching the Newsweek program on PBS yesterday, and our last guest on the last day of February the 28th, Miss Helen Centris mentioned that Mr. Everett's home, you know, had been taken over by the National Park System. Well, the program that I watched yesterday announced as a result of this expansion of the conservation bill, it is stated that now officially. Mr. Medgar Wiley Evers' home is now a national monument as honored by the National Park System. And so, I mean, just to be associated with such a great and courageous man and to work with him and to have been a part of his leadership, especially as being the first African-American or the first black field secretary of the NAACP, I'm just really overwhelmed, you know, at his sacrifice.
Well, I would like to come in again
Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, if I can come in and before you comment, I want to just say thank you to both of you as well, because we stand on your shoulders, and you all had your library sit in before the Selma March. So the type of bravery that came from such amazing, I mean, just these are feats of courage. I mean, I'll just be real, okay? You couldn't have predicted what those white folks was going to do. Now, I'm going to keep it real. We live on Tribe Family Channel, and as a family, we have to keep it real. You had no clue. So I could understand the fear factor that you speak of, Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr., and especially as the leader where Mayor Evers is putting it, the trust in what he's imparting into you for you to impart in the others. And then we can't forget the foot soldiers and all of the different other areas of the community that stood with the Tougaloo Nine 4 years before the March on Selma. Now, callers, area code 510, area code 925, get ready because we're going to come and open up your line. Senator Barbara Robinson, I want to thank you for continuing to listen. We're going to be coming back to you too, but we're going to allow your response to what Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. just said, Ms. Hollis, and then we're going to take a 3-minute, 14-second break for this clip.
Okay.
All right.
Did you want to respond to what Mr. Joseph Jackson said, or you want me to go ahead to the clip?
You can go on to the clip because the reality is that we know that what we did made a difference. We know that our lives were on the line. That's why we continue to share our words of wisdom with and to whom will listen. That's why we are continually reaching out to the community to find people who can also support what we are doing right now. And some of those people are Ellen Fentis, Dr. Wayne Wiegand, Barbara Robinson, and also we had Mr. Lee, Bernard Lee. So we've had people on. We just need to really continue to connect all of these emphases because we are all doing and reaching out for the same thing to enlighten people. Because if they don't realize what and where we are, you're going to still see some of the things that are on TV today where there is no reaction to what is going on wrong.
We have to be knowledgeable, and we have to be aware and cognizant. Slavery wasn't happenstance, and fighting for our freedom, for our enslavement, it was not only life-threatening, but people, we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors who died for our freedom. Basically. So we're going to go to this 3-minute, 14-second clip. If anyone wants to refresh their tea, we're going to come right back and open up the phone lines. You're live on Voices of Wisdom. You're live on Voices of Wisdom, hosted by Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. I'm the creator, Beverly Black, of Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. Voices of Wisdom is so named to keep the voice of Rachel Berry alive through our platform. She created the group Voices of Wisdom because everyone knows something that someone else needs to know, officially known as the Vow Network on Facebook. We'll be right back after this important speech.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there.
but somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. So just as I say, we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
I don't think any of us can be satisfied in the United States until that war is brought to an honorable end and American soldiers are brought back here to the United States.
One day, we will have to stand before the God of history, and we will talk in terms of things we've done. And it seems that I can hear the God of history saying, that was not enough. But I was hungry, and you fed me not.
You are back live on Voices of Wisdom with Mrs. Geraldine House and Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. on this 54th anniversary of the March on Selma. That speech you just heard was the very last speech given by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 7 years after the Tougaloo Nine sat in at the Tougaloo Library in Mississippi. Do you have any comments or remarks, Mrs. Hollis or Mr. Jackson, before we go to the phone lines?
Yes. When you played that speech, the last speech that Dr. King gave there in Claiborne Temple, my connection actually to him is the fact that he was assassinated in the city where I was born, Memphis, Tennessee, and I had just arrived here in Southern California, Ms. Black, shopping at the Market Basket grocery store when I heard over the intercom system that Dr. King had been assassinated. And then the other connection was to my leader, Mr. Medgar Wiley Evers. The fact was, as a minister of the Christian Church, which was better known as the Disciples of Christ, I wanted to continue to follow in Dr. King's footsteps as a minister, and I applied to the Board of Missions to see if they could grant me a scholarship to further my studies as a philosophy and religion major. And that's how I ended up there at the Tougaloo Southern Christian College, which led me to come in contact after being elected president of the NAACP Youth Council, which led me to meeting Mr. Medgar Wiley Everest. So I have two assassinated great African-American leaders that I'm connected to, and I am proud to wear that badge of honor. And that's why I do what I am doing along with my host, Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, is because this is my passion. And ever since I've been retired 17 years, and I told Mrs. Hollis just recently, I cannot overcome the thirst of knowledge about my black history more so than I have now. I just cannot stop studying about my history. And I'm researching the Reconstruction period. I also have the Audible app, and I'm getting ready to order the Black Reconstruction in America by Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois. And just recently, Dr. Henry Louis Gates, the other night I saw on PBS, is coming out with a new documentary, and it's titled Reconstruction, America After the Civil War. So I just want to be totally prepared to share my knowledge on this program and to be a co-host to Ms. Hollis. And I'm just grateful, really, to know someone of your caliber, your principles, Ms. Black, and thank you.
You know, and thank you so much, so very, very much. I just remember I was 2 years old when you had the sit-in in Mississippi. And when I became a publisher, the library was my go-to. Although I loved visiting the library all throughout school myself and raising my children, but when I entered the literary world, you have no idea what a foundation that I needed and created by having the library system. So I curtsy to you, take my crown off and tip it to you, Mrs. Hollis, and I just thank you. Now, did you have any comments? We're still going to go to the callers, but I want to give Ms. Hollis a chance to comment on the speech and on Mr. Jackson's sentiments.
Well, I concur with all of that. I have 4 points that I want to make, but I probably need to bring them in at the end because they are in conclusions. And what it is a summation with a sentence that people can look at, reiterate, to really think about, to put something in their mind for the idea of why we do what we do, what the consequences of what we are doing are, which should be possibilities to move forward. Not from where we were, but where we need to be. And what we need is for people to really to log in, to call in, to be able to listen and to be able to be receptive for what we are trying to challenge minds and ideals on.
Come on with that paradigm shift.
I want to hold them. Yes.
Yeah, that's a paradigm shift, because what you all did was a paradigm shift. The March on Selma was a paradigm shift. It changed the world. Changed the world. So, all right, well, we're going to go to the callers. Area code 925, you are on Voices of Wisdom with two of the Tougaloo Nine. Area code 925, your line is open for a question or comment.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Who are we speaking with?
My name's Christy Allen. I'm sorry, I'm really...
And do you have a question or a comment?
Beverly, thank you so much for arranging this. Dr. King, Father Willard Allen, taught public speaking at Camp Ottawa.
Did you have a question or a comment on the subject of Selma Revisited? Dr. King is no longer on the line. She had to go, so we do apologize. But you are on with the Tougaloo 9. Did you have a question or a comment Okay. Okay, go ahead. I just wanted you to know that Dr. King was not on the line.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. So my father was part of the organization that started what happened in Selma. He was a union representative under Walter Reuther. My father was there and participated. He was beaten with almost senseless and was ended up boarded up in a hotel room and waiting for the militia to come. For the same principles that everyone should not have to argue about, but he deserves the right to be treated respectfully and equally. It shouldn't be a battle. It shouldn't be an argument. It should be understood from the moment we're born until the day we die and meet God again. I worked for a company for 13 years. They still don't get it. Comcast.
And I think I do remember you on LinkedIn. Yes, I do remember you on LinkedIn, and I'm going to give them the opportunity to comment before we go on to the next line. But I want to thank you for calling in. How is your father now? Because we do honor everyone that stood side by side.
My father passed away in 97, but he gave me principles that will last forever. And I've tried to pass those on to my two sons. My sons are ethnically diversified as well. And I have no...
Amen.
God gives
God
us all opportunities.
Yes,
thank
amen. And God rest his soul. And thank you for calling in. We're going to allow them to comment, and we're going to then go to the next caller. So hold on for the feedback. One moment.
Christiane?
Okay, thank you so much. I'm sorry, what?
Thank you so much for sharing. It's always really traumatic when we can reach back and pull those kinds of emotional things up. But however, it does help other people to know. And this is why we are really speaking out regarding the emphasis and the history. And it is just awesome that you could come on and share your comments on that. So thank you so
thank
much.
You for
and
being
to share
here
that history.
That.
And thank you so very much for calling in. And I do have your number from our LinkedIn message. I just don't have the ability to patch you through to the person that you were requesting. But I do have your message, and perhaps we'll hook back up together when we can, when the time is right. Okay?
I appreciate that so much.
Yes.
I'm just happy to have been able to call in and give a little bit of what I know as the daughter of someone who was in this event.
And say his name once again, please.
My name's Christy Allen. My father's name was Willard Allen. A-L-L-E-N.
Willard Allen. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Joseph Jackson.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Allen, because what I really was just thankful for is to know that someone like your father, you know, who was a union man, as well as the ministers Mrs. Viola Luuzzo, many others that joined in that march that day. I mean, people of all races and creeds. And so I thank you, and I thank your father for his contribution, really, on that momentous day.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Amen, and God bless you, too. All right. All right, now we are going to allow a little more time and bring back on Senator Barbara Robinson before we get 4 points from Mrs. Geraldine Hollis. So, Senator Barbara Robinson, 443 area code, you are back on Voices of Wisdom.
You know, I'm learning too much to make a whole lot of comments this evening. I'm just enjoying the conversation, and I'm learning so much. But when I'm surrounded by wisdom, especially people who have walked the walk for many years and have left their footprints in time and have actually made significant contributions to the legacy of us, of our young people and our older people, and for generations yet unborn, I just marvel at the wisdom that you're giving. And so I really don't want to say anything this evening. I want to learn, because I'm not going to be able to be on but another 5 minutes. So I don't want to take up that time. I want to keep learning.
Well, bless your
Thank
heart,
you,
because
sister.
What you just said, and what you just said was wisdom. So that's good right there. Am I right about it, y'all?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, be sure to tune in to Second Wednesdays with Senator Barbara Robinson right here live on Tribe Family Channel, same time, same Tribe Family station. Okay, we're going to turn the show back over to Voices of Wisdom, hosted by Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and Mr. Joseph Jackson. We're going to get back into formation, and I am going to step back, and when you close the show, I will complete the outro. But we will be back in April, or excuse me, on May 2nd for the final episode of this season before the summer break. So you all have a very blessed ringing in the spring in April. We are going to be on hiatus on Voices of Wisdom, and we will be back in May. So back over to Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Beverly Johnson. You know, I really am pleased that you were able to pull all of these connections together. I know that you told me that you wasn't going to really be able to, or not to be able to interact so much, because you were going to be doing the engineering. But I want to give you a commendation on your filling in with this with so much. And we need that sometimes. I know that we give the program, we do the Voices of Wisdom, and we have our platform, but it is just so, it's like dessert for today. So, Joseph,
well, thank you. It's my honor. It's always my honor, privilege, and pleasure.
Yes. I love that we have so much to pull from and to share. And you, as you know, I like to be a little bit straightforward. I want to get some points in, some things that people can use and probably pull from that they can use later on when they think about this. What we have discussed today has been about the piece of what has been going on in our nation for so many years. However, it's not always received. It's not always conceived, and it's not always put into a place where it can be achieved. But for today, we have already discussed just this one sentence in my number one point, the promises of democracy for all. For our listeners and those who link with us later on, we have already given you some of the points to bring out the promises of democracy, not just for people of color, but for all. And I like that we have had the interaction that we have had, and I'm not going to close it all out without getting some just a point or two from Joseph, because I tell everyone, I don't mind talking and sharing and setting up things, but Joseph has such a phenomenal memory. he really helps me to get the point over. And so I really want to commend him. Joseph, the second point that I wanted to make is that it is all about rights. And for even now, looking through our level of living with our constitutional things that are going on, and I don't have to give you specifics on this, if you are anyway cognizant of the situation that is in our Senate, our representatives, you should know that there are some things that are a denial of basic rights. This is what America should be all about. Basic rights. Not the color of your skin, not the number of dollars you have in your bank account, not the kinds of things that you are able to pull from underneath the covers, but basic rights for all human beings. Now, to further move this on, in the end of our every day, our every session, our every basic need, the end is that we should seek the truth. And we should support all people. And it was brought out that a man is a man. Now, that doesn't take away from the gender, but it's about humanity, treating individuals with respect and honoring the fact that everyone has opinions. But I do believe that a lady that I knew many years ago who has passed on, but she passed on her truth to me, and she said, everyone has an opinion, but let it be of a good opinion, not callous, but of a good opinion. And the fourth point that I wanted to leave with us today is that we should learn to live together. It doesn't mean that we should all think the same, or even that we should even eat the same food. But over the years, we've understood that the United States of America is a melting pot of cultures, of tongues, of resources, of learned materials, and education. And none of this should keep us from living together, not just in our neighborhood, but also, as Dr. Alveda King stated, in prayer and in faith in our lives. If we don't have something that we can share, we'll soon learn that we can't live in this world by ourselves. And it's really not great to try to live by yourself, because there are so many needs that each person has, and we must learn to be giving people. And the more we give, sometimes it may not seem like it, but the more we receive. Much of these things are biblical, but we don't want you to think that we are preaching to you. We are just trying to share what our purpose for being on this program is all about, and that is to share voices of wisdom. Thank you. Joseph?
We shall overcome the...
We are living really in the greatest period of our nation, especially when I reflect back on coming out of Memphis, the Jim Crow South, and then having that experience, coming to California and having the opportunity to complete my college education and to meet other people that did not look like me, but I learned to love them because I did not judge them based upon their color in regards to those that mistreated me when I was in Memphis. And then on top of that, to finally be alive to have witnessed the 1964 Civil Rights Act, followed by the Voting Rights Act, and then on top of that, for everyone, for the most part, came together as one and voted in the first African-American president by the name of Barack Hussein Obama. And so, as Dr. King is so often quoted, and the quote really comes from Theodore Parker, who was a great Unitarian church reformer. And he was the one that said that the arc of the universe is long, always points toward justice. So all that I can say is, let's continue to moving forward and moving toward a union of a perfect and inclusive nation of all people. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators, but we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever.
We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the corner.
Tri-Family Channel. Tri-Family Channel.